We had in the previous mission that if we have a suffer regarding a tumor that's floating on water, that suffer would be regarded as being tar, even if the suffer occurred in a rishus hayachid. And the mission teaches, bein bekelim, bein bekarka. Whether the tumor is floating on water, that's in a utensil, or whether the water is in the karka and the tumor is floating on that water, and you have a suffer whether you came into contact with that tumor, even if it's an rishus hayachid, that suffer would be regarded as tar. Rabbi Shimon Omer, bekelim tamei, uve karka tar. Rabbi Shimon makes the distinction whether the tumor is floating on water, that's in a utensil, or whether it's floating in water, that's in the ground. If you have a suffer whether you came into contact with tumor that's floating on water in a utensil, you would be tamei. As opposed to if you have a suffer whether you came into contact with a tumor that's floating on water in the ground, you would be tar. The reason for the distinction is that when the tumor is in the water inside the kli, we regard the tumor as being stable, as being in one place since it's in a kli. So therefore, the suffer is like any other suffer in Rosh Hashanah, which is regarded as tamei. As opposed to if the tumor is floating on water in the ground, we look at this tumor as if it doesn't have a place, meaning to say, since it's floating in the water, it's not stable, and a suffix tumor by a tumor that is not stable, that's not one place, would be regarded as tar. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, suffix yiridaso tamehu, suffix aliyaso tar. Rabbi Yehuda said, if somebody went to into a pool of water, and there was a tumor floating in that water, and he has a suffix, whether he came into contact with that tumor while he was going down into the water, then that suffix would be regarded as tamei. He would be considered tamei in such a case, as opposed to if he has a suffix, whether he came into contact with the tumor when he was going up from the water, in such a case, he would be considered tar. The reason for this distinction is when somebody goes down into the water, objects in the water tend to float towards him, so there's a greater likelihood that he came into contact with the tumor, as opposed to when somebody is going out of the water, objects in the water tend to float away from him, so it's less likely that he came into contact with the tumor. Rabbi Yossi Omer, I feel ain't some ela melo adam utuma tar. Rabbi Yossi said, if somebody entered into a pool of water that is very little room, that there's only room for the object that's tummy that's floating in that water and the person who dipped into it, so it's impossible that the person who dipped into that water did not come into contact with the object that's tummy, even so, the person would be considered tar, even though we know for sure he came into contact with the object that's tamei. And the Mefarshim explained the reason for Rabbi Yossi, that since the tumah is not stable, it's floating on the water, it's not staying in one place, such a tumah cannot be metamei anything else. Only a tumah that's in one place could be metamei something else. That which we said previously, that when we have a suffix, whether mashkin liquids had become tamei, we would go to chumrah, and the ruling would be that it would be tamei me suffix. Ketzah, what's the case of suffix mashkin li tamei? Tamei shapasha is raglo, the bain mashkin tahira. Somebody who is tamei, who stuck out his leg towards liquid that were tar, suffix naga, suffix lo naga, sveiko tamei. We have an uncertainty whether or not the tamei touched the liquid that were tar with his foot or not. This suffix would be ruled as being tamei, as we're talking about where the suffix happened in Rishus HaYachid, in the private domain. And the klal is that a suffix tumah Rishus HaYachid is feiko tamei. We go l'chum. Haisa kikar tumah b'yada b'zorka l'bein mashkin tahirin. If somebody had a kikar, a loaf of bread, which was tamei in his hand, and he threw it among liquids that were tar, suffix naga, suffix lo naga, sveiko tamei. If we have uncertainty whether or not the kika, which was tamei, touched the liquids that were tar, this uncertainty would be ruled as being tamei, as we said, suffix tumah versus a yachid, sveiko tamei. Uli tamei tar. But we said previously that if we have a suffix whether maskin that were tamei touched something else and made something else tamei, that uncertainty would be ruled as being tar. And the explanation for the distinction between such a case where we have a suffix where the mashkin itself became tamei, which is ruled l'chumrah, and a case where we have a suffix whether the mashkin was metamei something else, which is ruled l'kula. The explanation is that which mashkin would become tamei is minat Torah, as mashkin could become tamei minat Torah. As opposed to mashkin being metamei something else, that's only midrabbanan. Mashkin can only be metamei other things midrabbanan, so therefore, since it's only midrabbanan, if we have a suffix, we would go l'kula, we would be lenient. Ketzah. Haisa mako b'yad uvarosha mashkin tmit. What's the case that we have a suffix whether mashkin was mitami something else? Somebody who has a rod in his hand, and at the tip of the rod there are mashkin tmit liquids which are tmit. The zarka lebenki karos tahirin. And the person threw the rod that had mashkin tmit at his tip among kikaros loaves of bread that were tar. Suffix naga, suffix lo naga. We have an uncertainty whether this rod with the mashkin tmit at the tip came into contact with the kikaros that were tar, steko, tar. This suffix would be ruled as being tar, as we explained. But since mashkin tmit are only mitami other things, midrabanan, it's a suffix, drabanan, and we would rule lakula, we would rule leniently, even if the suffix occurred in any Rosh Hashanah.